We're visiting today with Professor Randy Bott at Brigham Young University, who as of this date, and for the last several weeks, has been the top-rated professor on RateMyProfessors.com, a portal that aggregates student feedback and just recently surpassed the 10 million comment mark. That would be over 10 million comments from students rating their professors. Professor Bott, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to interview with you.
I'd like to start by asking you, how do you feel about being number one?
Well, in the first place, I don't have any delusion that I am the highest rated professor in the United States. I just have a bunch of students that are very appreciative for the efforts that I put forth. And so in reality, I kind of have looked at this all the way the months that I've known about this as more of a reflection on their willingness to pass on a compliment than my great ability to teach.
Well, having said that, let me ask you, do you read what your students have to say about you, and does that have any impact at all on your teaching?
I was not particular. I've known about RateMyProfessor.com, but I'm not a great computer whiz, and so I haven't spent a lot of time. In fact, I haven't spent any time looking at it either before or since. I take my ratings from the students every exam that I give them. I ask them for feedback on what I can do more effectively and how I can make the class more relevant in their lives. And then at the end of the semester, obviously they do that student evaluation, and occasionally I'll look at those, see how I'm doing.
So in a sense, well before RateMyProfessors.com, you were asking students to rate you or at least provide comments that would help you, improve the experience that they were having in your class?
Oh, absolutely, and I kind of steer them away from just giving the accolades. You can pretty well tell when you're hitting off with the students. It's when there are those students that are silent, that don't say anything, but they're not having a good experience, that this gives them an opportunity to say, well, I wish you'd do more of this or less of that. And that seems to be more helpful than just saying best class I've ever had in my life or whatever.
Well, take me back, if you would, to that moment in which you either first learned about RateMyProfessors.com or first learned that you were ranked number one. Where were you? Who told you? What was the scenario?
Well, I was here in my office, and I got a telephone call, and the caller ID said it was from New York. Now, that's not unusual because the students often keep their cell phones, with their local number so that they can call home without it being long distance. And this woman came on and just started talking with me, and I thought she was a student. I said, where are you calling from? Because usually, she said, I'm calling from New York. She said, are you familiar with RateYourProfessor.com? And I told her that I had a passing awareness of it. And she says, are you aware that you've been rated the number one professor on RateMyProfessor.com? And I says, no, I wasn't aware of that. And she said, let me put that into proper perspective. She said, there are approximately 1 million professors that are rated, and you're the number one rated professor. I said, oh, really? And she says something to the order, if I can remember correctly, that you have to be in the top 10 for 3 consecutive years or something like that in order to get this award. So we chatted for a while, and then I thought, well, that's nice. and then she says, well, you may be hearing from other people because once this gets out, this is a fairly big deal. And so I thanked her for that, and that was about the end of the conversation, but that's how I found out about it.
Do you think that the attributes or the factors that are rated on RateMyProfessor.com are the right things to be measuring?
Well, the one obviously that I'm not too keen on, and I don't think I scored very high on it, was hot. I think we live in a world where we put so much emphasis on sex appeal and being with the mod group and stuff like that, that I don't know, some of the more homely professors that I've had in my collegiate career have been some of the most effective, and I wouldn't say that they were hot, but I would say they were excellent professors. So that one I don't particularly think is relevant, but evidently some do.
How about clarity and easiness. I guess what I'm looking for here is if you look at what RateMyProfessors.com is specifying as the metrics by which they're asking students to rate you, do you think those are the metrics that are important in either selecting a professor or in determining the quality of the information that he or she delivers?
Well, maybe I could explain just a little bit about the easiness thing, because I know that somebody says, well, it's an easy A. I found in my doctoral study here at BYU that when the major professor said, look, your entrance exam was getting into the program, and now our desire is to get you out with as much of an education as we can possibly do. And I thought, yeah, right. But they really did. And so they didn't even have what they called examinations. They called them celebrations. And it was a psychological thing, because they were just as difficult as a regular examination. But we went in with the idea in mind of celebrating how much we had learned. And so I adopted that when I came here to BYU, and I don't have any exams in my class. I have celebrations. And they're taxing and they're difficult, but I don't know if I'm messing with the minds of the students or not, but it's that psychological impact of that sort of disarms those that have test anxiety. And so they still have to put out, and it is still taxing, but my objective isn't to segregate them out on some artificial bell-shaped curve, is to try to help them to master the subject matter. And I think that's why they call it easy, is because I'm working with them and not against them. I'm not trying to trick them with questions that will segregate them out. I just don't do that.
Well, for the sake of our audience who may not be familiar with the area in which you teach or with the Brigham Young University culture, can you talk a little bit about the department that you teach out of and the course that you teach that basically was the foundation for these ratings?
Well, I'm on the religion faculty here at BYU, and my two major areas of emphasis are missionary preparation, and it's for young men and women. And it's really, that's almost a misnomer, because it's a preparation for mission, preparation for marriage, preparation for life course, where the objective is to take the gospel, what's been revealed, and translate it into language that people can understand and apply in their everyday lives. And that's what makes it such a powerful course, is because I'm dealing with the very problems that these students are facing, and that they will face as they do their voluntary 2-year or 18-month missions as they go out or as they enter into the marriage. And then the other course I teach is a Doctrine and Covenants, which is a compilation of revelations given through the prophet Joseph Smith, which really is a wonderful course, because it's every time the early Latter-day Saints in the early 1820s and 30s would hit a roadblock and they didn't know what to do, they would run to the prophet Joseph, and he would go to the Lord, and the Lord would give him a snapshot on how to solve the problems. And so the Doctrine and Covenants becomes literally a handbook for solving life's problems. And I think the two of them really go hand in hand, because the Doctrine and Covenants is really a missionary prep manual for the early saints, and consequently for us. That's why I think that I'm really, really fortunate to be able to teach that type of a course. It's application based.
And as I understand it, all students at BYU are required to take, is it 14 hours of religion credit to graduate?
That's correct. And two of those credit hours need to be Doctrine and Covenants.
Okay.
Seminary preparation is an elective course that can act as part of the 14.
All right, so in a sense, you do teach a required course.
Yes,
All right. Do you think that if you were teaching college algebra or a general education elective that students had to take but maybe weren't thrilled to be there, you think your ratings would be as high?
I'm not so sure that the content is what makes the difference as much as the fact that I hear over and over again that the students say, you seem to be genuinely interested in me and in my success. And I think I could do that same thing in college algebra. Do I think I would be rated as high? Probably not. But my effort would still be the same, would be to try to get into their lives and help them to understand why what I was teaching was relevant and how it will make a difference in their lives.
So you think how you do it, how you deliver it, is as important as what you're delivering, the actual content.
Absolutely. You can have the most fantastic teacher in the world, but if the students are asleep 5 minutes before the class gets started, he's not going to have much of an impact. And so my classes are fairly animated. I try to put enough humor in it, but enough seriousness in it and enough meat that they can really get their teeth into it.
So, Professor Bott, here's my question for you. Let's assume that you have a cohort somewhere out there in the country, and I'm sure there are several of them, who look at your ratings and admire the ratings that you have and how you've achieved that. What's your advice for someone who may not have high ratings who would like to get them?
It probably sounds cheesy, but I'd say just get real. Let the students see who you really are. I'm not any better than anyone else, and I'm not smarter than anyone else, but I try to be really genuine because I really do have a genuine interest in the students. And I would just say that people respond to that. They see through the facade if the teacher is just standing there because he has to teach in order to be able to justify his research position at the university. And so I would just say you don't have to put on any airs. I'm obviously not very good looking, but I have a personality, and I want to let that shine through.
Well, when you refer to looks, I just have to maybe ask this question. Given the nature of the course that you teach, could it be that you come across as everyone's favorite uncle, and there would just be something weird about rating your favorite uncle as hot?
Probably grandfather would be.
Okay.
And I don't know about that because I've got colleagues that are a little bit more stiff and a little bit more want to come across as academic. I don't like them to refer to me as doctor or professor. I go by Brother Bott, and I've been that ever since I've been teaching, and that's what we call each other in the religion department. And so that also takes that air of superiority away when they look at you as being a brother. Rather just an older brother that's really trying to help you through. Probably grandfather's better.
Do you find that there is some good-natured kidding or maybe kidding that's not good-natured within your own department and among other faculty members on campus because of the high ratings that you get?
That's probably been one of the most disappointing downsides, is that when that became public and went in the school newspaper and the local newspapers and that type of thing, there were some of the fact, I think in good-natured kidding mostly, would say, well, should we stand up and salute, or should we bow when you come past? And I really disliked that. It wasn't funny to me, and I didn't solicit the reward. It just happened, and I'm no different than I was before. But I haven't, even now, and this has been months and months that I've had this thing, I still have them introduce me as the Here's the top-rated professor in the entire United States. And I think, come on, don't do that. That's not what I need.
I occasionally write about the good, the bad, and the ugly of different social media applications, and RateMyProfessor.com would certainly be a social media application. As you think about it, could you give me a quick example of something that you would consider to be the good, the bad, and perhaps even the ugly of RateMyProfessors.com based upon your experience?
The good, I'm sure there's a lot of good that's come out of it. I have never had any trouble, having kids sign up for the class. That's never been a problem here. And so, and they come with I think your reputation goes before you, and they come with an expectation that I'm going to push them to the wall as far as their understanding of the scriptures and the doctrine, and that they're going to learn, and it's going to be a fun experience, and that's the good part. But I don't know how much of that is directly attributable to Ray, my professor. The bad I've already mentioned just a little bit with certain students and some colleagues that have used it more as a teasing tool, and I could probably do without that, although I've learned how to good-naturedly just laugh it off. The ugly probably comes a little bit when you've got someone who is somewhat envious or jealous of your notoriety and would take a shot at you. I had a young woman who wrote an article for one of the local newspapers here claiming that she was a student in my class and wanted to tell people the way I really was, and it was really pretty negative. And so when they sent me the article, because I hadn't seen it in the it was a Salt Lake newspaper, I took the time to contact this young lady. All right, first of all, I tried to look her up on my class rolls, and she wasn't there. And so I called the university and got her telephone number and gave her a call, and come to find out that she had never been a student in my class, but didn't think that I deserved that type of notoriety without somebody, you know, knowing what I was really like. And evidently she'd come to class, which isn't unusual, for one class period with a friend of hers. And from that, she wrote this rather negative review. And I'm sure if I were to go to rate my professor, there would be a number of those that would be like that, that would say, no, he's not all that great, which I didn't think I was in the first place.
Do you think it's possible to game the system? I don't want to suggest that there could be a conspiracy, but for a moment, let's think about that. Do you think that it would be possible for an instructor working with a group of students or alone to somehow affect the rankings?
Boy, if I had the time to do that, I wouldn't. That would be on the absolute bottom of my priority list of things to do. I'm so busy preparing, researching, writing, teaching, answering student emails, you know, that the calls for help, that there's virtually no time. I guess it would be possible for a professor if he didn't have anything going for him, but I'm not so sure that's really affected my academic standing here at the university at all. And so I don't know. I don't know why anybody would want to do it, but there probably is somebody who wants to do everything.
Professor Bott, do you see a correlation between the end of semester course ratings that the university asks students to do and the kind of comments and rankings you get on ratemyprofessors.com?
Traditionally, I have fairly high ratings here. I think I know that my chair keeps saying things like, you're the highest rated professor with the student ratings at the university. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, you know, but that's another one of those things that they say in your annual stewardship review here, is that the ratings are off the chart there. And again, I don't know whether that's true or not, because the students tend to say, those that are maybe not even motivated to post it on Rate My Professor are almost required to do it as part of their academic experience here. And so you get a broader coverage of what the students are actually saying, and I look fairly, I look at the comments that they make there, and especially more at the ones where they say, I really like where he does this, and have some meat, rather than the greatest class I've ever had in my life. And I really look strongly at the ones where they say, I wish he would do this, or I didn't like it when he did that, or whatever. And so I look at those, and I've tried over the 16 years I've been here at BYU to adjust the curriculum to meet the needs of the students that I'm teaching. And I guess I have the latitude to do that with the courses that I take.
Does it surprise you to know that there are hundreds of thousands of students who use ratemyprofessors.com literally to shop for a professor, to try to find the right instructor for a particular course prior to enrolling in that course?
You know, in some ways, that might be a little bit of a demonstration of their immaturity. If they're just looking for the easy course, sometimes life is not easy. And sometimes you need to be challenged to get outside of your comfort zone. And if all they're doing is shopping to find an easy grade, then I think they're missing the whole point of a college education. You want to go out equipped to handle the challenges of life, whether they're spiritual or social or professional or whatever they are. And so I would hope that it doesn't devolve into that type of a thing where they shop around and say, oh, you can get an easy A in this class.
One of my last questions for you. I'd like you to rate myprofessors.com. I'm going to give you a 5-point scale, and I want you to rate it from the perspective of how valuable a tool do you think this is for students? And one would be, you know, not at all valuable, and 5 would be an indispensable tool. Somewhere on that 1 to 5 point scale, give it a rating and tell me why you give it that particular number.
Wow. That one's not quite so easy for me to do since I'm not a regular visitor on Rate My Professor. But I would take maybe the middle of the road on that one over the three. And the reason I would say that is because some students really need to have certain personality needs will do better in a class where the professor meets those needs. Some students are case-hardened enough, if you will, that it really doesn't make any difference what the professor is like. They're there for an education, and they're going to get out of it what they want out of it. And so what the teacher's like is pretty irrelevant. And so for some, it would actually be a five. You know, you absolutely got to do this or else you're not going to survive. For others, probably a one. You know, and so that's why I took the middle.
You mentioned that you are a grandfather. I don't know if you have college-age grandchildren, but is this something that you would recommend, or do you recommend it to your own grandchildren or the college-age youth in your life who are not your students, but relatives?
My oldest grandchild is 13. So, okay. So, but I think, again, I would look at what I know about my grandchildren and what they're like and how they've adjusted to their different variety of teachers all the way from grade school up. And then I would probably, you know, tailor my recommendation to the grandchild. Our oldest granddaughter is going to make it no matter whether they have Mickey Mouse teaching the class. She's just that way. She's going to go there and she's going to get after it. She's got two twin sisters. One is slightly autistic, and I'm going to say, you need to go to Rate My Professor. You need to see what you're getting into. You know, and so, like I say, I don't know. I would again hope that I would know my grandchildren well enough to know whether they would benefit from that type of an instrument or not.
And my final question for you, if you apply that same scale for your colleagues, in terms of, is it a tool that you would encourage them to avoid that is not at all useful, or is it an indispensable tool for them? Where would you rate it?
That one is even more difficult than the last one. Because, again, I'm dealing with professors. Some of them are very self-assured of what they do, but are really not connected all that well with the student body. They seem to be in the world of their own, and they could really benefit from going there and seeing what people are saying about them. Others are very open and take the recommendations and suggestions from Rate My Professor and different you know, the student ratings at the end of the semester, and then try like I do to adjust the best that they can without compromising the integrity of the course to meet the needs of the students. And for them, it probably wouldn't be as valuable. But for the ones who are not in touch with today's generation, it would be a very, very valuable tool to hear what people are saying and what they're like. It's sort of like walking down the halls of a high school during the break if you're not aware of the language that the kids use. It's a shock.
Well, we've been visiting with Professor Randy Bott of Brigham Young University, currently the number one rated professor on ratemyprofessors.com. Professor Bott, I want to thank you for your time. Clearly, you're doing something in that class that is resonating with your students and has been translated into very high scores. I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us today.
Well, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to say a few words.